What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A wild ride on Wall Street as stocks rebound after a volatile day of trading. What's next?
Obviously, a lot of Fed watching will take place. I think a lot of Russia-Ukraine watching will take place. And earnings will become really important because it will give us a clue to really how good the corporate profit cushion is.
And as tensions over Russia and Ukraine escalate, the U.S. and its allies bolster their response. Plus, how to keep work at work, even when you're at home. It's Monday, January 24th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Officials say the Pentagon has placed hundreds of U.S. troops on standby for deployment to Eastern Europe amid heightened tensions over Russia's presence near Ukraine's border. U.S. officials say it amounts to an escalation toward U.S. military involvement in the crisis. NATO allies are also sending ships and jet fighters to its northeastern and southeastern member countries. The UK has shipped some 2,000 short-range anti-tank missiles to Ukraine, and the European Union plans to send more than $1.3 billion in loans and grants for Kyiv. Russian President Vladimir Putin has demanded that NATO pull its forces back and guarantee that the alliance won't give membership to Ukraine. The U.S. and its allies rejected both demands at a series of meetings with Russian officials earlier this month. A British court is allowing WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to appeal his extradition to the U.S. to the United Kingdom's Supreme Court. That's likely to further delay U.S. efforts to prosecute Assange on espionage charges in connection with WikiLeaks' 2010 and 2011 publication of a huge trove of classified material on U.S. campaigns in Iraq and Afghanistan. Assange has repeatedly defended his work and WikiLeaks as public interest journalism that exposed wrongdoing. The Supreme Court said it will consider a pair of conservative-led challenges to race-conscious admissions policies at Harvard and the University of North Carolina. A group called Students for Fair Admission sued both schools in 2014, alleging Harvard used quota-like racial balancing tactics in violation of federal civil rights law. The lawsuit against UNC had similar allegations. Both schools said they would defend their admissions practices. Washington, D.C. and three states are suing Alphabet's Google, accusing it of deceiving consumers about recording their location on smartphones and web browsers after users tried to turn off tracking. The suit alleges that Google still tracks people's movements using information from its search engine, Maps app, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth services. The D.C. suit is seeking fines as well as having Google give up the data it's collected. A Google spokesman said the case is based on inaccurate claims and outdated assertions about its settings and that the company would defend itself. Our tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy says the new suit is just the latest facing Google as well as other big tech companies.
They've been under a ton of scrutiny, a lot of congressional hearings targeted at them, a lot of legislation. But in a lot of ways, you know, the lawsuits are the most tangible potential threat they could face because Congress really has been deadlocked in terms of passing, you know, a privacy bill, for example, that would deal with some of these location tracking issues. The other place where this fits in is the Federal Trade Commission, which is under new leadership in the Biden administration, is considering privacy rules. And this is something that they could take up if they go down that road.
And Ford is taking the unusual step of suspending customer orders for its Maverick pickup, which it began rolling out last year. The automaker says demand has surged and the company has hit the limit on what it can build. In a memo to dealers, Ford said it's already straining to fill a backlog and will resume taking orders for the 2023 Maverick in the summer. With a starting price tag of about $20,000, the reception for the Maverick has been strong as car prices have soared and there are fewer affordable options. Coming up, what's behind Wall Street's roller coaster trading day?
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or builds an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Volatile may be an understatement. After a sharp decline to start the trading day, the major U.S. stock indexes staged a furious rally. The Dow had fallen more than 1,000 points, and the S&P 500 briefly fell into correction territory before the indexes ultimately recouped those losses and ended the day with gains. The Dow added 99 points, or 0.3%. The S&P 500 also gained 0.3%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.6%. The choppy trading comes ahead of the Federal Reserve's first policy meeting of the year, where the central bank is expected to offer more details about its plans to tame inflation. For more on what's behind the numbers, I'm joined now by Wall Street Journal financial editor Charles Farrell. Hi, Charles. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, how are you?
Good, but quite a start to the week here for markets. We've known since December that the Fed is planning to raise interest rates this year. Why have we seen investors seeming to fret more about this in the past week or so? Has this been sort of the overall sentiment as we head into the Fed's first meeting of the new year this week?
I think a lot of market participants are trying to figure out exactly what the Fed is going to do. Yes, we know that the Fed is intending on raising rates this year. We have a reasonably good estimate of what the Fed is saying they will do, but we don't really have precise details. Could it be earlier? Could it be later? A lot of those questions are really important, especially to those stocks that are really sensitive to interest rates. And so if you think that the interest rate hikes are coming sooner, if you think that inflation is more of a problem than perhaps it might have been at the end of last year and the Fed will be prompted to act faster, even if we have a broad sense of what they're going to do, the ground could shift pretty quickly. And again, a lot of stocks are really sensitive to rate moves right now.
So as the Fed begins its meeting tomorrow, what are investors really watching for here?
The key thing that investors are watching for are the Fed's views on inflation and how serious a threat it is and what the Fed is going to do about it and when. So long-term bond yields are, of course, a reflection of investors' assessments of the path of rates over time. And those have been ticking up over the last 6 months. They're off a little bit in the last few days. But generally speaking, investors are thinking that higher yields are coming down the line. And the real question is, when are they coming and how fast?
Let's talk some more about the NASDAQ. We have seen tech shares leading the sell-off last week. What is it about tech companies in particular that investors are souring on? And how do we expect that to play out this week as we expect many of the tech giants to report their latest earnings?
Sure. A couple of things to disentangle here. One is that many tech companies have been pandemic high flyers. So the pandemic has generally been good for tech. And we have seen a lot of companies that kind of didn't really have nearly the presence that they had pre-pandemic soar during the pandemic. And some of that is just unwinding, right? So the world slowly normalizes and everybody who could possibly afford a very expensive exercise bicycle has already purchased that very expensive exercise bicycle. Some of the air comes out of that tech stuff. The other thing is more technical, which is that tech stocks in general, growth stocks in general, have more of their earnings in the future. That's the point. They're expected to be bigger in the future. When interest rates are high, the future earnings of tech companies are less valuable in the present. And that's just sort of math and mechanics. So they're the kind of both of those things are playing together at once right now.
And is that sort of connected to what we're seeing in cryptocurrency? I mean, Bitcoin had lost half its value since its peak in November before coming back up a little today.
A little bit. Bitcoin is harder to sort of ascribe to a pricing cash flow model because, of course, it doesn't generate any cash. It just sits there. But Bitcoin has really started to behave more and more and more like a risk asset. So it's a thing that people want to own at times when they're willing to take a lot of risk and are less interested in owning when the risk appetite comes off. And we're seeing the risk appetite come off. And so there's been a ton of volatility in crypto. Needless to say, all this stuff is still way, way up when you pull back the lens a little bit. But again, that's another thing that's really sensitive to attitudes of the investing public towards risk.
Charles, what about the geopolitical concerns? There are fears that Russia could invade Ukraine. As the situation develops, how is that weighing on markets?
It certainly doesn't help. That's never a good thing for markets. And one thing to consider, especially in the Russia-Ukraine matter, is that energy is a big deal, especially in Europe, where Russia controls an enormous portion of the gas flow into Europe. And you start to see disruptions there, and you start to see consequences from that. That ripples out into markets more broadly. And the price of oil is off a little bit today, but we're above $80 a barrel on crude, and that's considerably higher than we had been before.
It is only Monday. What are the expectations for the rest of this week?
It's very difficult to say. I mean, obviously, a lot of Fed watching will take place. I think a lot of Russia-Ukraine watching will take place. And earnings, as you alluded, will become really important because it will give us a clue to really how good the corporate profit cushion is. It has been quite good, especially for some of the big companies that are just minting money hand over fist. If that continues, that'll be a real ballast to the market. But given how sensitive we are right now, a couple of big earnings misses could be very ugly.
That's Wall Street Journal financial editor Charles Farrell. Charles, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, Maria, great to be here. Take care.
And finally, it's no secret that the pandemic has blurred many of the boundaries between work and personal life, with work messages showing up at all hours. A lot of us have even gotten used to it. But if you want to break the cycle, there are ways of reestablishing some of those lines for yourself. Our Work and Life reporter Rachel Feinzig has been speaking with experts about it and has some tips.
So, I mean, some things are really little. Like an expert recommended to me that you set a timer at 10 minutes to the hour if you're stuck on back-to-back video calls. And you'll hear it, and the people that you're talking to will hear it. And that can kind of be your cue to say, you know, I need to go, whether it's to cook dinner or just to actually hunker down and focus on your actual work. Because I know a lot of people feel like their whole day is meetings. Also, having a buddy, someone who, if your kid does get sent home from school at the last minute, maybe they can hop on your meetings for you. You guys can kind of be each other's backup when you need.
If you're concerned about pushing back, Rachel has some tips for that too. She recommends approaching your colleagues to discuss expectations, and if they don't seem realistic, approaching your boss as a group. There's strength in numbers. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.